On this week's episode of At 88 Primes in Sports Day 1, presented by the OhioSportsBlog.com, Charles and I break down the debacle that was the Browns versus the Steelers from Heinz Field this Sunday. We also have everyone's favorite new segment, The List, and we have some interesting people who have made the list and some people who may never get off the list. Let's go. 88 Problems of Sports A1 podcast is brought to you by NCSD Apparel. They can be found on Twitter at NCSD_apparel. They were established this year in 2018. They make t-shirts from the 330. Represent Northeast Ohio everywhere you go with shirts from NC Sports Design. You can shop now at ncsportsdesign.com. They have a promo code NCSDNEW at checkout. Get 20% off your purchase for any new followers. That's NCSDNEW at checkout to get 20% off your purchase if you're a new follower. They have a great new shirt. Go to their Twitter site right now. They have a shirt. They have a Muni Lot shirt. I'm ordering this thing, getting 20% off right when we're done by entering the code NCSDNEW at checkout. Okay, Charles, that the Browns versus Steelers just ended. The Browns did not look good yet again for about the fifth week in a row. The offense was very pedestrian. They get beat by the Steelers in Pittsburgh. We both of us on Thursday said we didn't expect them to win, but both of us expected maybe a little better showing than what they've given us. Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson are basically the definition of insane. They keep doing the same things over and over and expecting them to be better. I'm thoroughly disappointed with this showing by the Browns. What's your take on it?
You know, it's the same mistakes repeated over and over. The constant penalties on positive plays, the constant negative plays on bad offensive calls, the constant inconsistencies when we get down in the red zone. It's the same thing repeated week by week, and it's really growing really tiresome to watch. You know, Haley, we've said for weeks now that Haley needs to run a creative offense, more innovative, and it's not. The offense is just stale, and instead what he does is he goes out there and he throws screens to Jarvis Landry when he should have been throwing those to Antonio Callaway, because Antonio Callaway has much better speed for those screens. Jarvis Landry is not fast. Jarvis Landry is better after the catch when he catches the ball out deeper past the line, not behind the line of scrimmage, where he's going to easily get swallowed up, especially with the problems our protection has had. You know, you can't just continue to do this game by game and expect changes.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. There's just Haley just keeps doing the same things. You know, Nick Chubb, if you watched him at all at Georgia, Nick Chubb is a between the tackles, downhill runner. He'll explode through the hole. He showed us that last week when he got 18 carries. I mean, that's what he is. He's not a stretch zone guy. He's not a patient runner as far as – he's not a Le'Veon Bell type who can sit back, and then beat you with his speed. He's an explode downhill runner, power running back with that can explode through the hole. And they kept running him time after time when he's off tackle plays, stretch plays that are designed for a faster back to get out there and make a cut back, which that's not what he is. I love Nick Chubb. I mean, I think Nick Chubb is the future of our running game, but you have to design plays to players' strengths. And Haley's just not doing that right now. There's not one thing we did today that was designed take advantage of a player's strengths.
No, exactly. I mean, like you said, you know, they try to run Chubb to the outside. He's not. He's a between the tackles runner. Yes, he has explosive speed, but he's explosive when he gets off of a bunch of tackles and he gets out in space. What he's not explosive at doing is right there from the backfield and exploding out of the backfield. He explodes through contact. And then gets touchdowns. And then when you throw like I said earlier, when you throw screens to Jarvis Landry, it just continues to make no sense. And I just wonder, what the hell is this team doing offensively? And, you know, what more does John Dorsey need to see to get rid of these guys at this point?
Yeah, it's just these guys, the offensive game plan is not designed. It's basically whatever Todd Haley wants and what he does. And you have to blame maybe, and I don't know as a guy, if Hugh Jackson is how much influence he has, but Haley came in as the offensive coordinator, the play caller, and so the buck stops with him. It's all on him and Hugh Jackson as far as I'm concerned. They are not doing, like you said, they're throwing bubble screens to Jarvis Landry, you know, for negative yardage multiple times. You know, you do it once, okay, maybe you tried it, negative yardage. We're not coming back and doing it again. You know, they did it two or three times for negative yardage. Later, at eight catches for 39 yards. That's, I mean, that just tells you what, how ignorant the play calling was, what they were doing. They're just feeding him catches to get his catch numbers up, and he has no yards. How do you have 39 catch yards on eight catches? That's insane to me. And the only yards he got were on the very last drive when they scored with 6 seconds to go, because they hit him against some weak prevent defense down in the middle a couple of times. But, you know, they're not doing things to their strengths. Not once did they throw the ball deep down the field to Antonio Callaway. That's what he is. He's a top off the defense receiver. Throw the ball down the field to stretch the defense a little bit. Maybe you'll get a pass interference call that'll move the ball 60 yards down the field. You know, Baker Mayfield's a great deep ball thrower. I mean, he had a great numbers throwing the deep ball last year at Oklahoma. So let's get him out there and throw the ball down the field. Or maybe we'll catch a pass interference for 50 yards like Joe Flacco has made his career off doing. But, I mean, the things that Haley and Hugh Jackson designing are, like, it's almost like they're pulling cards out of a Rolodex and saying, let's run this play now, let's run this play. They have no idea how to use these guys' strengths. And they just do whatever. It's like I said, they're pulling cards out of a Rolodex and saying, hey, let's run this play. I know these guys can't do it, but, hey, let's do it.
Exactly. And you know what you were saying, how they didn't want to throw the ball to Antonio Callaway. You know, they've shown in earlier games how they're willing to throw the ball to the kid. And, you know, the kid admittedly has not come through, and we've killed him for it. We've absolutely killed him for it. But to do this now, to show this lack of confidence in him now, to not go and run those kind of plays against a secondary that's personally slow. I mean, they're running out. Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden does not have the same speed that he used to have when he first came in the league. And even when he first came in the league, he wasn't blazing fast. So the fact that you don't call any of those plays, you call a bunch of short plays, you continue to put your quarterback in bad positions. I mean, they continue to do the whole drop back passer thing. Baker needs the ball out of his hands quick. So I get why they were doing the screens. But there was just they needed to sprinkle them in creatively. They didn't. What they did wrong was continue to do them, and you know that's where, you know, our line just kept getting blown up. I mean, there's problems all over this team, and it starts with the coaching. I mean, the coaching is absolutely atrocious. I mean, Bob Wiley right now has got. I mean, he's got to go. I think he's got to go too, along with Haley and Hugh, because I'm just not seeing the results. I mean, Chris Hubbard has been horrible at right tackle. I mean, I thought that was going to be a good signing, and now we're looking at probably one of the worst signings that Dorsey's made this year, and that's saying a lot considering the improvements that he's made. But then you go to Jarvis Landry, eight catches for 39 yards,
whopping 4.9 yards a catch.
That's absolutely unacceptable when you are getting paid $15 million a year. Now, I get part of that is the plays that they're calling and putting it and the positions that they're putting in him, but that is absolutely unacceptable from your number one receiver. He needs to be put out in space where he can do damage, and he needs the ball. I mean, honestly, we have to force feed the ball to him, but, you know, it's the fact that the other receivers can't get open is making it harder for him, but it's still, he needs to perform, no, and that's not happening.
I mean, I get it, but I can't put that on Landry, because when they run him on routes, Baker, and we've said it for the last 4 or 5 weeks on this podcast, Baker is not a 5 to 7 step drop passer. You know, that's just not what he is, and that's what they're asking him to do. It's like putting a round peg into a square hole. You know, you just – and for so Landry can't get open down the field against a good team with good pass rushers. Like, the Steelers do have good a good defensive line. They have T.J. Watt. They have Stephon Tuitt. They have Cameron Haywood. Those are guys are all legitimate professionals who are able to press the pocket, able to get into Mayfield's face, and it causes – like, Landry ran a great corner route at one point in the second half, and Baker overthrew him because Baker didn't have time to throw the ball. But that's not what he is. They need to get the ball out, let Landry catch it on some slants, maybe a little RPO, a little run-pass option for him to get the ball down the field. But they need to do something to get the ball out of Baker's hands quickly and make the game faster and run more plays and be a little more creative. And you can throw those screens when you set them up, but you're not setting them up. You can't throw the ball out there to Landry 30 yards away and expect him to get you 15 yards. If you throw bubble screens, throw him to Callaway and throw the ball down the field to Callaway. They're not using Antonio Callaway the way he needs to be used. And another guy last week had 4 catches, 52 yards and a touchdown was David Njoku. This week had 0 catches. And I can't remember in my mind a time that he was actually targeted on a play. I mean, there's a legitimate weapon for you in the middle of the field, a big tight end, Baker's safety net, never targeted during an entire game.
And the Steelers are horrible against a tight end. I mean, tight ends have gashed them all year. And to see Njoku go targetless through the entire game is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I use the word ridiculous and unacceptable all the time, and it's probably gets old, but it's true. It is ridiculous and it is unacceptable when you have a tight end like David Njoku, who's been on fire like he has been. You have to get him involved in the game. You get him involved through the middle of the field, that opens up lanes for the other receivers, and we didn't do that. You know, there's just too many things that we're doing wrong, and our coaches don't know how to put these players in the position to win. You know, and I like Damon Harrison at left tackle. Don't get me wrong. I think he needs more time to develop. I think the best thing that we should do is switch him over to right tackle, let him develop more on that side in a less needy position. Put Bentonio out there at left tackle and put Corbett in at left guard. You know what? Because I think that's the best way to at least semi-fix what's going on with his production so far. Because it's just, you know, when your quarterback drops back and 3 or 4 defenders are already in the backfield, what's he going to do? I mean, you know, Baker can only do so much. And, you know, to continue to put your quarterback in that kind of position, you know, it's inexcusable by the coaching staff, and it makes me so angry.
Just watching the same thing over and over and over again. I mean, a ton of this has to go on the coaching staff, and you can't. I mean, I know players make plays and whatnot, but you have to be able to put players in the situation to make those plays, and you know, to not take shots down the field. That's why receivers can't run underneath open. You're not taking shots down the field to try to get them open. You got to stretch that defense. We scored 18 points against the Steelers defense, who are not your dad's Steeler defense. They're not the Steel Curtain. They're not the 2000s with Troy Polamalu and James Harrison and the Super Bowl winning Steeler defense. These guys are very average defense. They've given up some points to some teams. You know, we scored 20. Chiefs scored 42. You know, the Buccaneers scored 27 in a loss. You know, they've given up some points this year. And, you know, Todd Haley's unable to take advantage of what talent that we do have and help that offensive line out. The offensive line, we talk about Baker Mayfield not being a 5 to 7 step drop passer. The offensive line aren't 5 to 7 step protection guys either. And the way to help that offensive line out is to get the ball out of Baker's hands fast, because – that'll help them out. Because if you're holding it back over 3.5 seconds, you know, the pass rushers can get to you. But if you're catching it, boom, catching it, getting out in 1-2 seconds, that's, I mean, they won't be able to get there. and now they got to turn to run chase after the receiver. Now they're going to be tired. So, and we have guys on the outside if we use them correctly, or we can get them the ball and move the ball down the field. I thought the very first drive of the game, when we ended up kicking a field goal, was a great drive, and I was hoping that would keep up throughout the rest of the game. I mean, we were mixing screen passes, we were mixing runs, we were mixing other passes in, but it didn't. It just like that, we did that, went up 3-0, and then all of a sudden we lapsed back into what we've been doing for the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, we had a really good start. I mean, the first couple drives, they ended with field goals that could have ended easily with touchdowns. But, you know, I was satisfied with the way those drives started because they looked like a good time. We were scoring points in the first quarter. And then I think it started to go downhill when Greg Joseph missed that 41-yard field goal when it could have been 9-0 at that point. You know, now that's pretty big in itself, but, you know, he just hasn't looked confident kicking. But when you continuously put your defense in positions that your offense is in the position that they're being put in to have to continue to come back on the field, you know, for continuous 3-and-outs, for drive stalling, not putting up points when they get turnovers, you know, it's going to come back and bite you. And that's exactly what happened in this game. I think the defense legitimately got worn out in this game. I mean, because it was just – They were on the field, and then they were back on the field again, you know, it seemed like. And then they'd get a turnover, and then the Browns could only turn it into a measly field goal. I mean, you have to turn those into more points, you know. I mean, it just – it's not good offense or good coaching when you cannot do that. And when you cannot put players in a position to win you ball games, you are not a coach in this in the NFL, and you need to be replaced pronto. And I don't know what John Dorsey is thinking now, but if Haley and Hugh aren't gone soon, I'm pretty sure that we're all going to boycott.
They're slowly, as the end of the year when they started 1-1-1, you know, then they went out and scored 42 points against the Raiders and got beat, and everybody, you know, and it was, you say what you want, but the NFL cost us that game with the refereeing. You know, we could be 2-1-1. Then we won the next week. So now we're riding a high, and then we get whacked by the Chargers. We go to Tampa Bay and screw the pooch down there. And then we come to the Steelers and get blown out by there. It's teetering on the fact that it's going to be the same old Browns here in a second. You know what I mean? Well, the city's enthusiasm was up. The enthusiasm for the team was at an all-time high since they've been back. And we're teetering on the fact that it's going to be, oh, here we go again. You know, because – the Chiefs are coming to town next week. You know, the Chiefs score 45 points a game. The Chiefs are – they have Patrick Mahomes, who's a second-year quarterback. They have Kareem Hunt, who's a second-year running back. They have some decent receivers. They have a good tight end. You know, they're going to score some points. They're going to score 45 points. And the NFL is turning into a league where your defense can't carry you anymore. You have to be able to score points. A good defense in the NFL now is giving up 25 points a game. But the good teams are able to score 35, 38 points a game, so you're still winning games. That's defense isn't the same as it was 15 years ago or 18 years ago when the Ravens gave up 7 points a game and won the Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer as quarterback who couldn't throw a forward pass. You know, so that we're getting to a point now where it's going to be same old Browns and the stadium's going to be half empty here down the stretch.
Yeah, and you know what? It is that's exactly how it's feeling, you know. I started feeling it again today. I'm like, "Oh my god, here we go again, same old Browns," you know. Like you said, from the moment the season started, we had more optimism, but now like you said, again, you said it's slowly teetering away, you know. And it's with continuous discouragement and discouragement game after game, it just seems like nothing is going right for this team. And nothing is changing. And for a city that's as loyal as Cleveland, we deserve better than this. And the fact that the Haslams and Dorsey have not seen this yet, you know, Hugh's been here for 32 plus games, you know. Okay, he's got two wins.
He's 3-36-1.
Okay, yeah, he's... Yeah, Hugh's 336-1. Okay, he's had enough chance. Haley, the offense can't get going under him, it's time for him to go. You know, if he can't run an innovative offense with a quarterback like Baker, where you are absolutely required to put up 40-plus points in the NFL, and you have the Chiefs coming in town next week, then you should not be coaching in today's NFL. I mean, the Chiefs are – let's just say this right now. The Chiefs are going to mollywop us. It's not even going to be close. I mean, there's just too many problems all over. And you know what? I think the book out on the Browns is out. Run, wear them out, and then you can kill them with the pass late in the game. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, they absolutely burned us. Connor killed us again from yards from scrimmage. Big gains, and then short passes. I mean, that's exactly what the book is.
Yeah, I mean, the Browns are running an old school NFL offense. I mean, and you know, I'm not going to say that I personally could go and coach the Browns and be better than Todd Haley, but I could watch other games and watch guys like the New England Patriots are doing with a 41-year-old Tom Brady, who's been in the league for 20 years and has gone from an old school Charlie Weiss offense to Josh McDaniels offense, which is now running RPOs and other concepts that the colleges run and crossing routes and getting our guys the ball in space and catching the ball and running. You watch a team like that, you watch the Kansas City Chiefs, as you mentioned, Andy Reid, who's an old-school NFL guy, able to change and adapt to what the game is. You know, they're getting the ball out in space. They're getting Tyreek Hill in space where he can run. They're getting Travis Kelce, their big tight end, who Njoku is in the mold of a Travis Kelce. Like, he's not an inline tight end like, you know, an old-school NFL tight end. He's in the line of a Travis Kelce who can catch the ball and run with it. He's 6'5", so he's bigger than everybody he's going to play against. You know, that guy, they get the ball to their back like Kareem Hunt, who Duke Johnson is in the mold of a Kareem Hunt. Like, we have weapons like the Chiefs do, but the Chiefs are putting up 45 points a game where we're putting up 18 because we're trying to do old-school NFL things with all these new-school guys, and it's not meshing well.
Exactly. I mean, like you were saying, Duke is somewhat like Kareem Hunt. He has Kareem Hunt catching and in space ability, and then Nick Chubb has Kareem Hunt running ability, if not better running ability. I mean, you can't really say that right now because he's just a rookie. But I'm just saying, you know, it speaks to his talent. You know, there is talent there, and we're not getting the most out of it. And when you're not getting the most out of it, it is time for a coaching change. And I realize we have been doing this same coaching carousel for too many years, but we legitimately have the talent now to compete. I mean, I honestly, I think we would be in first place in the NFL if we had a better coaching staff right now, because they're
I would think, you know, the knock on the Browns was the last few years when, you know, before they got rid of Hugh, or before they got Hugh, you know, they changed coaches every 2 years, but there wasn't the young guys. That a coach could come in and build his own culture and his own like systems. You know, it was all a bunch of old guys. We were way above, like our cap was maxed out. We had a pick, but the picks didn't pan out. Like, we have good players. We have good young players right now. We have an elite pass rusher, Myles Garrett. We have Baker Mayfield, who looks like he's going to be able to be a good quarterback in this league. You know, we have a couple receivers. We have a good tight end. We have a lockdown corner in Denzel Ward. The book's still out on Desmond Harrison if he's going to become a good left tackle or not, but he's got some game experience now, so he's just going to keep getting better. So like this looks like the Browns now are in a position where they're a good landing spot for a good young coach. They have a good young quarterback. He can mold into his system. I mean, a la Sean McVay out in L.A. You know, I mean, he came in second year quarterback in Goff. Had a good running back, good receivers, was able to mold his offensive stuff into the Rams, you know, hire a good defensive coordinator. They got good defensive players, and now they're undefeated in the league. So, I mean, you're not far from being a contender in this league with the guys that we have. It comes down to a guy who can put in the right stuff to be able to take advantage of the strengths that these guys have.
Yeah, and you know what? This team seems to have the attitude that once they make a mistake, they can't come back from it right now. At least that's – it didn't start like that, but that's what I'm starting to see now. You know, the same old Browns mantra is creeping right back in. It's creeping slowly. I mean, the defense just seemed to give up today. And I get it. You can't, but you can't have that. You know, you got to keep fighting. You know, I get what the offense was doing was not making things easier on you. But you cannot let the Steelers do what they did in the second half with James Conner. You cannot let them do what they did with Antonio Brown at the end of the first half, where he got in on a deep play. I mean, Denzel Ward just straight got beat on that play. You know, it can't happen, and this something needs to change. And you know, this team is plays so undisciplined, and that's another thing that is a reflection of your head coach. We've said this before. Hugh Jackson comes from the Marvin Jones tree. That team, Marvin Lewis tree. You know, they just continuously make mistakes and make mental errors, but somehow they still win games. You know, it's just the constant errors like that that continually kill a team. We need, I agree. I think we need a young offensive mind to come in, like a Lincoln Riley to come in. But I also wouldn't mind a guy like a Matt Campbell from Iowa State, because he would bring discipline to this football team and establish a culture. And that's exactly what we don't have right now. We do not have a culture.
Yeah, I think that
it's ridiculous.
The culture is trying to be established by Dorsey. And I would be highly surprised if we're by the end of tonight, after, you know, of course, after we, you know, publish the podcast, Hugh Jackson does not get fired tonight. I mean, you look at it, the Browns have the Chiefs next week at home and the Falcons the week after that at home. I mean, those are two straight games where they could give up 35-plus points and get beat pretty soundly at home in front of our home fans. You know, it's going to be a bad atmosphere in the stadium, you know, when they're getting hammered at halftime 28-7. And the Chiefs and Falcons don't have good defenses. Their defenses are not very good, but the offense can score points. And our offense is going to be, if Hugh and Haley are allowed to stay in command, the offense is going to be, hand the ball to Chubb on a stretch play, hand the ball to Chubb off tackle. Oh, it's 3rd and 8, so now we're going to try to throw a 7-step pass. Baker's going to run for his life, probably get sacked or throw the ball away. I mean, That's what our offense is coming down to, and it's really sad. And I mean, because we have players that can play.
Yeah, and you know, I was just saying how there's no consistency. Per Daryl Reuter on Twitter, Myles Garrett said the Browns should have stuck with the Week 1 defensive game plan versus Steelers instead of switching up looks this week. Why in the world would you change a game plan that worked so well against the Steelers in Week 1? Granted, Connor still went off on us in Week 1, but we held them down pretty well, and we held them to a tie, 21 points. Why in the world would you try and change a defensive game plan and not do anything different with your offensive game plan? Because on all honesty, other than the screens, they didn't do anything different this week. And it's the same old things, and you cannot win in this league when you are constantly doing the same old things. And this league is a copycat league. So, you know, maybe finding the next Sean McVay is not going to be the easiest thing to do, you know, and we may not find that next Sean McVay, but I'd rather take a shot at this point with a young guy who can bring innovative college concepts into the game. Because as we were saying with Andy Reid, the guy is one of the oldest head coaches in the league, but he's willing to change. He's brought so many college concepts in the game into the NFL game. And that's what we need right now. We need innovation. We need creativity. And there's
offseason. I mean, what's going to get you more fired up? Okay. We're going to hire Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma, who has 2 years of head coaching experience. You know, he's 33 years old. Or we're going to hire Jim Schwartz, who's 57 years old. You know, already been fired from one head coaching job in the NFL and making a second comeback as the head coach of the Browns. What is going to get the fan base more fired up?
Oh, that's Lincoln Riley all the way. I don't think any Browns fans want Jim Schwartz near the team with a 10-foot pole. I mean, he failed with the Detroit Lions. He's a good defensive coordinator. He's not a head coach. And I get it. He could bring some offensive guy in who could give the offense to, but I don't see that working. We need a young offensive-minded head coach because this is an offensive league.
And I'm just saying Schwartz because it's the first name on the top of my head of an old guy who I've heard rumors that is like one of the top head coaching candidates for next year because he was the DC at Philadelphia, right? So he's a defensive coordinator in Philadelphia, yes. So he's one of the top guys as far as head coaching candidates in the league. But, you know, whether or not he brings in whoever he brings in, he's still not the guy that's going – he's going to bring in another guy who's 50 who – is another AKA basically a top. Might as well bring in another Todd Haley because he's going to do the exact same thing. But they need to bring in a guy who's younger, who can, you know, adapt to Baker's strengths, adapt the offense to our offensive strengths, and, you know, and let's go from there because we're not doing anything right now other than what Haley is trying to cookie cutter this offense into. Our offensive line is not a power run offensive line. It's not a 5-step, 7-step drop back passing offensive line. And Baker's not that quarterback. So let's get him out. Let's get him out on the move. Get these guys the ball in space and let him run. And let's go from there. Let's see what we can do, you know, in the coming years. Because right now, we've all said this, right now in the NFL, the way to win a Super Bowl is a hit on your number one draft pick quarterback, which everyone believes that we have, and go and build around him to be able to win a Super Bowl, because once you have to pay him, and the Seahawks are seeing it right now, once you have to pay him $100 million, the people around him, you have to start getting rid of pieces around him, and your team slowly gets worse until you can build it back up. So right now is the prime time to build around Baker Mayfield to build into a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I can make the case if we don't get a guy like a Lincoln Riley, that we go after a guy like John DeFilippo, the offensive coordinator for the Vikings. I mean, he's only spent 1 year as an offensive coordinator so far with the Vikings, but he did have that year where he was offensive coordinator for the Browns. But he spent a couple years in Philly as a quarterbacks coach, so he learned under Doug Peterson, who is one of the most innovative minds out there offensively. And look what he's done. Kirk Cousins is putting up career numbers this year with that Vikings offense. And they Adam Thielen is playing out of his mind. I mean, he could easily have his seventh straight game of 100 yards tonight. And that would tie Calvin Johnson's record. I mean, that's the kind of guy that I want running this team. That's the kind of guy that I want teaching my quarterback. I mean, what John DeFilippo did with Carson Wentz, you know, speaks for itself. I mean, the kid just came into his own like that. I mean, they threw him out there, and the Browns are doing what they're supposed to do. They're putting Baker out there, and he's learning because, I mean, Baker was ready right from the start. We all didn't think so, but Baker was ready right from the start. Now what we need to do is we need to put the right coaches around him to take advantage of his strengths and to take advantage of his team strengths. Because like you said, we are not a power running offense. We are not a five to seven step drop back offense. We are a quick hit you, get the ball out of the quarterback's hand, hit you with the big gash runs when you think we're going to pass it type of offense. And we're not showing that right now because our coaches want to run an ancient offense that does not exist.
Yeah, not for the good team anymore. That doesn't. If you watch, like, the NFL is a 53-man roster, so there's not a whole lot of subbing defenses can do. So if you speed the offense up, it's easier to play offense than it is to play defense, especially when you're fast-paced. You know, there's a lot more things you can do. If you speed the offense up, you can tire out a defense in the NFL. It's a 53-man roster, and, like, two of those guys are kickers. So it's really a 51-man roster, offensively and defensively. So there isn't a whole lot of subbing you can do in the NFL. And as we all know, in the NFL, if you're subbing a guy in, that guy is nowhere near as good as the guy who's playing ahead of him. You know, anytime there's an injury in the NFL, it's a huge, huge drop-off from the starter. So if you can tire out a defense, speed the game up like the Chiefs are doing, like the Rams are doing, like the Patriots are doing, Like any team that's got a winning record and people think will win the Super Bowl is doing, then you have a chance to win because you're tiring defenses out and you're scoring 35, 40 points a game. And if you can do that in the NFL, score 35 to 40 points a game, you got a heck of a chance to win the whole thing.
Exactly. And, you know, to elaborate on that, you know, you can't continue to expect different results when you continue to do the same thing week by week. I mean, when Hugh Jackson continues to come out and says, oh, I got to look at the tape, I got to look at the tape. You know what? That grows old so very quickly. How much tape do you need to look at before you realize that this offense is not what it needs to be in the NFL? I mean, I don't know what he's doing right now. I don't understand what this organization is doing right now. And I got to tell you, some people are making the list this week, Charlie. You got some people making the list this week,
my friend, and it's going to be ugly.
Oh, I have no doubt it will be. I mean, honestly, let's just get this started right now.
I got a repeat offender on the list, but go ahead. Give me your first guy.
My first guy is Bob Wiley. I mean, with the way this offensive line is played, we've given up the most sacks in the league. And for Baker to be constantly put in the positions he's put in, Bob Wiley, sir,
you have made the list. Hard Knocks was great in the offseason and gave us something to talk about. It gave the team, an 0-16 team, a lot of good exposure. But a lot of guys, and Bob Wiley, I believe, is one of them. And it's why he's gotten a pass for 8 weeks. Like, people liked him because when he said hot, his whole belly moved. And he was like the big old walrus guy who everybody liked. And he was funny. He can tell stories. But Bob Wiley, I believe Hard Knocks, because of his fame of being – he was that assistant coach who came out, you know, became famous because of Hard Knocks. Because of that, I think Bob Wiley's gotten a pass, if you will, this year. Because, as we all know, offenses start up front, especially with the offensive line. And, yeah, I like it. But Bob Wiley, your ass is on the list.
I love it. I love it. All right, who do you got?
I'm going to give you my repeat offender. My repeat offender on the list is none other than Todd Haley. And I'm going to tell you this. I think Todd Haley is going to be on my list until he's gone from Cleveland. Todd, I mean, and we've beat this into the ground. It's an inept offense. I mean, it's just the play calling is you shake your head. It's unbelievable what he's doing or not doing, if you will. So, Todd Haley, you're permanently taking up space on the list.
Todd Haley, get your ass on the list. All right, so my next one, this is going to be the Browns' run defense. Absolutely atrocious. We've been getting gashed by the run. You know, our pass defense is one of the best in the league, but we rank near the bottom of the league in run defense. And you know what? I don't think that's coaching. Sometimes I think that's effort. And you know what? I haven't seen the effort there on run, and it's just poor tackling. So Browns run defense,
list. And that's a flipper from last year, because last year we were number one run defense in the league. So when we addressed the secondary, you know, we thought our defense is going to be real, real, real good. And, you know, the run defense hasn't been there. James Conner, and I know this because I have him on one of my fantasy teams, I mean, he's got 300-some yards already against the Browns with a bunch of touchdowns. I mean, thank you. I needed it. But, you know, I would have liked to have seen you stop him a few times.
Exactly. We all needed that from Connor, but, you know, yeah. We still wanted to see the Browns.
Go along with the run defense. Jamie Collins coming from the New England Patriots. No wonder Bill Belichick got rid of you. You're on the list. Your effort, I mean, there's been multiple times where Jamie Collins has been spotlighted by the national or by the telecast, where he's just not even given 1 ounce of effort. He's jogging all over the field, probably trying not to get hurt so he can keep collecting his game checks. But Jamie Collins, you are on my list.
You know what? I love it. You know, James, it was funny. The announcer was saying Jamie Collins was leading the team in tackles today. And I just found that. I mean, I'm like, where is this Jamie Collins been? Not that it made that much of a difference. I mean, the dude has come. We traded a third-round pick to get him, and then gave him a big, fat contract for absolute crap return. So, Jamie Collins, I think you're going to be on the list for a while.
for my final part, I got a repeat offender this week too, Charlie. I'm keeping Hugh Jackson back on the list until he gets fired, because at this point, you know, this is a sinking ship with him at the helm of it, and his constant bad decision making, his constant lack of making adjustments. You know, it's killing this team, and it's going to end up ruining Baker Mayfield. And God help us if he's still there until the bye week, because right now I don't know if this team could make it to the bye week with him as a head coach. So Hugh Jackson, yeah,
Todd Haley should take up the same apartment on the list, because they're going to be there a while. But this other guy, my last guy, he's on notice. He's on the list, and there's only one way he can get off the list. John Dorsey, you know what you got to do. You have to do it, and you have to do it, and you know you have to do it for the city of Cleveland, for Baker Mayfield, for the entire organization. You have to get rid of Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley right when they touch down in Cleveland tonight. That's what you have to do, and that's the only way John Dorsey gets off the list. I love what he did in the offseason, but John Dorsey, until you man up and make the decision you know you have to make, you are staying on the list.
And you know what? That's such a good one, Charlie, because you know what? He's made some pretty questionable decisions lately. I mean, the fact that he still has not added a wide receiver to help this team, I mean, his place on the list is well-deserved. I mean, even his choice of kicker is probably right now is well-deserved. I don't even think our kicker is the right guy right now. I think we need to go out and get Cairo Santos or even Phil Dawson. Let's go bring back an old friend of ours. I heard he's available. So, yeah, I think John Dorsey's going to take up permanent real estate on the list until he does what he needs to do and helps Cleveland out. John Dorsey,
moving from that, I just looked at tankathon.com. The Browns have the seventh. Right now, the draft for tomorrow, the Browns would have the number 7 overall pick. I mean, and that's a pretty good pick where we can get a guy who can help us, you know, right away. So we need to get the coaching situation straightened out. We need to get the players on the team who are, you know, not contributing to the positive culture of the team off the team. And we need to get to, because we have another high pick to add to our bevy of talent that we got last year and ability and start taking steps forward instead of taking backwards. It feels like we take two steps forward, one or three steps back. One step forward, two steps back. I mean, we're never making real progress. We're sitting at 2-5-1, you know, last in the AFC North by 3 games. We need to start doing something. And I think the first thing that has to be done is John Dorsey and Todd Haley, pack your bags and get out of town.
I think you meant Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley. I think we want to keep.
Oh no!
You said John Dorsey. I think we want to keep John. I think we want to keep John Dorsey for a little bit. Yeah. He's on the list right now.
We'll keep John Dorsey, but he needs to make that decision.
He needs to do it, and he needs to do it now. Hit the eject button, Dorsey.
All right, Charles. I think that'll do it. No Buckeye game this week. They play Nebraska next week, so we will get into all that on Thursday. Any big Browns news this week? Hopefully we get the news we wanted. One thing we didn't mention, Charles, was we'll do this real quick. Cavs got rid of Tyronn Lue after a 0-6 start to the season. Probably no surprise to anyone that he's gone. Larry Drew are going to be ascended into the head coaching spot. Real quick, your thoughts on that?
You know, it's about time that the Cavs got rid of Tyronn Lue. He just wasn't the coach for this team. You know, he seems to hate young players, kind of like John Gruden does. I mean, John Gruden gets that reputation for hating rookies. I think Ty Lue has kind of hated rookies or hated young players, because you know what, young players just don't seem to develop under him. And this team has started out 0-6. You know, yeah, he won us a championship, but I think more of that was on LeBron and Kyrie than it was actual Ty Lue's coaching talents. You know, I think this is the right move for the Cavs going forward. Larry Drew's going to take over in the interim. Hopefully the Cavs will get a few more wins. I don't see them winning a whole lot this year. I see them keeping that top 10 pick, which is what we all want, honestly, because the team needs as much talent it can get. But we need to go out and we need to find that next big head coaching candidate. And you know what? I think there's somebody out there waiting for us. It's just we just don't know who it is.
The Cavs, you know, moving on from him, because that basically moves us on from the last piece of what was those championship finals runs that they made the last 4 years. And now we're in truly rebuilding mode. Ty Lue is one of those guys who likes to come in, and he had ready-made players when he won the championship. There's no doubt about it. He had LeBron, he had Kyrie, and he had Kevin Love was already there. Was there too. Tristan Jarr. He had a big veteran ready-made team. All he had to do was basically roll the ball out and let the greatest player of all time take over. So he wasn't going to develop this team, and that's what you're right. That's what this team needs is player development, and we'll see you later, Ty Lue. You know, thank you for your championship, helping lead us to the championship. It was fun those 4 years, but, you know, time to move on. We got to develop players now and, you know, see what the future of the Cavs will hold for us.
Rumor has it, too, he didn't get along with Kobe Altman either.
I'm sure he didn't, yeah.
So, you know, you can't have a head coach that doesn't get along with your GM. You know, I get it. Dan Gilbert has made some crazy decisions with his front office execs. But when you have a young GM like Kobe Altman who is trying to rebuild this team, you can't have a disconnect between the GM and the head coach. They need to be on the same page. So hopefully we bring in somebody that will be on the same page as Kobe Altman. Thank you, Ty Lue. We love you for the championship. Yeah. But it's like, time to move
Larry
on.
Larry Drew, last point on this. Larry Drew, you know, he's going to get 75 games to try to prove his worth as an NBA head coach, which is awesome with a young team to help develop them. And if they're better at the end of the year than they are now, let's give Larry Drew a shot at because we're still going to be developing kids next year too. We're not going to – all of a sudden we're not going to be a, you know, third, fourth, seed in the Eastern Conference because of what he does this year. But if we're better at the end of the year than we are now, let's get Larry Drew a shot at this, and let's continue to develop the talent that we have and that we're going to get, and let's see what we can do in the future. And I think it's going to be a fun – I think this year we're going to be, you know, probably a 20-win team, and we're going to keep that top 10 pick. But then next year, let's see what we can improve to, 35-40 wins and make the playoffs as a 7-8 seed and keep building from there. But that's all down the road. The Cavs, we'll get into more of them as we move forward. But, you know, the Buckeyes are off this year. We got Nebraska next week. We'll talk about them on Thursday. The Brownies, the Chiefs are coming to First Energy Stadium. We'll get into that on Thursday. And as always, we'll have Mike from Woke Up Winning back to give us his picks for the NCAA and the NFL for next week. So we got a jam-packed show for you next week, and we look forward to seeing you there.